This is Twit.
Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, this week on Fox News said, We are thinking about banning TikTok, Chinese apps in general, but especially TikTok. Didn't say they're going to do it. They're thinking about it. India did. And there are a lot of Indian influencers who are very upset. A little lesson learned there, but they built their business, some people over a couple of years, making money on TikTok. Now they don't have that outlet anymore. So here's the question, really. Is there anything to fear from TikTok? It's a Chinese company. They're trying to pretend they're not. For instance, in Hong Kong, they've withdrawn from Hong Kong because they're afraid that they would have to give information to China. There's stories going around that they're trying to get out of China somehow. Any company that operates in China, whether it's Huawei or TikTok, presumably is going to have to adhere to the laws of China, which would, just as in the United States, mean that they would give information to the Chinese authorities. Should we not be using, Louise, you use it?
I do use TikTok. I have to for my job, honestly. I think that I'm not particularly more scared of TikTok than I am any other app that relies on advertising as a business model. I think that my threat model might be different if I were a U.S. diplomat, if I were...
Yeah, U.S. diplomats shouldn't be using TikTok. I will grant you that.
Or like Army personnel. Yeah. Yeah, or something like that. I don't think that there's been specific, concrete... security concerns that have been identified about this app. And I think that anything that comes from U.S. officials has to be viewed kind of in the context of China-U.S. relations, which I would, very gently say are at an all-time low.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to keep that in mind. And I think that a lot of people don't really understand ByteDance, which is the company that owns China. The company that owns TikTok and kind of the role that it plays in China. It's kind of like the Facebook of China in a lot of ways, and very similarly to how Facebook pisses off U.S. authorities, ByteDance has pissed off the CCP and gotten in trouble for things like letting what the CCP considers to be lewd content go viral. I think that it's best to view TikTok through the lens of capitalism and through the lens of like another big tech giant that primarily makes its income through targeted advertising and is incentivized to get you to spend as much time on the app as possible to make its features as addicting as possible. And that is the best way to think about the risks, I think, for the average person. If anyone knows any specific security concerns related to its Chinese ownership, I'm open to that. But I don't think we've seen that.
What's your Signal account?
Yes. Please DM me on Twitter if you know anything about that. I'm open to it. I think it's naive to be dismissive.
Yeah.
But I do get a large whiff of xenophobia anytime that this topic comes up. And I think a lot of the people shouting the most about it have the least knowledge about China. And I think that should be kind of indicative. But, that said, I'm open-minded. I'm not, I'm not here to apologize for the CCP. But I think that, they're an advertising company that wants as much data on you as possible to serve your advertisements. Right.
Well, and to be clear, I think now we understand that the problem with these apps isn't what you put on these apps, the content you post, the videos kids post on TikTok. The problem is that it's on your phone, and that because it's on your phone, it has access to all sorts of information about your location, what's on your clipboard, all sorts of things. And I think honestly, Phil, you can tell me, you're in this business. Any app you put on your phone is very likely collecting as much information as you'll let it.
Well, I mean, I think that depends a lot on the design of the app.
But isn't that one of the reasons you want to get on a phone?
It's never motivated me or any of the stuff that we've built.
Right.
Just because we have a philosophy that we're going to get data that is very clearly beneficial to the end users, and we're going to explain why we're getting it. The philosophy here is... it's called beneficent design. So the idea behind beneficent design is you make every single decision based solely on what's in the best interest of an informed end user. So you just say, well, if the user understood exactly what was happening, would they want this? Would they be okay with it? And if the answer is ever in doubt, then you just don't do it. But yeah, a lot of and many companies operate that way, but none of the ad-supported ones do.
That's
and I really do think it's an issue of the targeted ad-supported business model, which puts a fundamental conflict of interest between what the customers want and where the money comes from. Sorry, what the users want and where the money comes from. And when you have that, yeah, it's all sorts of bad behavior. So yeah, anything ad-supported is I don't know, sketchy in my book.
It's not unusual though for even a paid app to do some of this.
No, of course not. But a lot of the stuff is like
that's double dipping.
You would want for the end user, right? There's legitimate functionality. So for example, if in iMessage, if it's just in iMessage, text someone, you know, where you at. They will get an option in the autocomplete to just push a button to reply with their location, right? Like it's doing that. It obviously you have to like enable that the first time. It's looking up iMessage on the person who received it is looking at their location so that they can push the button and in one tap, you know, reply to you where you are. Like that is a plausible thing that you can do. Get your location in iMessage so that you can quickly communicate it. Again, with an opt-in. So I think like stuff like that is fine. Those are convenience features. But no one wants their information to be used for weird targeted advertising. And that becomes the root of a lot of the problems.